Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center here at the very end of January. We're off and running on this brand new year. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and if you've just joined us, maybe you're brand new to the Intentional Living family, every day we kind of get our minds wrapped around things that matter most and how to live our lives intentionally. And I got me thinking about the topic of declutter your life. It's one of the four steps of intentional living, frankly, decluttering your life. And sometimes people ask me, does that mean throwing people out of my life, you know, relationships? Well, there's sometimes relationships do have an expiration date, but that doesn't mean that your family, your marriage, and your kids will have an expiration date. They shouldn't, but sometimes you have unhealthy relationships out there. But so often we get calls that really want to help us understand, they want to help me help them understand how to declutter their relationships that matter most. And we get so many calls about adult children, you know, how to have a healthy relationship with adult children. It seems to be a growing issue among our intentional living family. And Tandra called us a few months back, in fact, asking about it. And I think it relates much to this declutter topic. Take a listen.
My husband's a stepfather to my older two boys, and we often have a conflict when it comes to the oldest son. He's a new dad. He's always asking for help, and he's not really following God. He's having a hard time with work, finding and keeping a job, constantly asking for help, and I tend to want to give him that help, and my husband doesn't. He wants him to kind of do that on his own. So my husband and I do have quite a bit of conflict over that.
How do you deal with that? When you and your spouse aren't on the same page, that's a real problem when it comes to adult children, often related to money, your responsibility, how long should they stay in the home. How do you handle that? How have you been intentional? 888-888-1717 is the phone number. And I hope Tandra is listening. It can be helpful to her, but we got thousands of people who can relate to this, and maybe you're one. We certainly would love to hear from you. And I think about this thing of decluttering relationships. Again, we don't want to be misunderstood here. Decluttering doesn't mean we enter into a problem relationship with adult son or daughter and say, how do I get them out of my life? They're driving me nuts. Now, I know you probably feel that way, but I've experienced in working with people over the years, how many parents regret later on having said something that became a stake in the heart of the relationship, or doing something out of anger or frustration or emotionality that they later regret. When we think of intentional living, when I think about declaring your intention, that's the first step in intentional living. Boy, this is a time where if you let your emotions drive you, you're going to get into trouble. Declare your intention before God today. Can I encourage you as a parent to say, before God, I'm going crazy. I'm nuts. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm overwhelmed. But before God today, I declare my intention that I'm going to try to figure out what pleases Christ in this relationship with my adult son or daughter, and then be an intentional parent and follow through. And sometimes that requires outside support and so on in the process. And that's part of what we want to get to today. In fact, Tandra, when I talked to her, she went on to say a little bit more. I want to share that, and then we're going to open the lines and talk to you. All right, 888-888-1717.
Hi, my husband and I, we have four children, two boys, ages 25 and 22. Our girls are 18 and soon to be 16. My husband's a stepfather to my older two boys, and we often have conflict when it comes to the oldest son. He's a new dad. He's always asking for help, and he's not really following God. He's having a hard time with work, finding and keeping a job, constantly asking for help, and I tend to want to give him that help, and my husband doesn't. He wants him to kind of do that on his own, which I believe he does need to do that on his own, but as a mom, I want to give him that help. So my husband and I do have quite a bit of conflict over that. So if you have any suggestions on a way my husband and I can kind of deal with that together, that would be wonderful.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. People want to join in on this overall topic of, adult sons and daughters, and how do you deal with that when the relationship gets a little bumpy in the process? Lori's first in Arizona. Lori, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here.
How do you weigh in on this topic?
Well, I am a stepmother as well. I have two stepchildren, and I brought in two children when my husband and I got married. And my advice is honestly to just love them. Love them anyway. And for us, it's been a challenge. All of our children have at one time or another kind of seized the moment to say, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't need you. I don't like you. I don't love you, whatever. And we've really just embraced the serenity prayer. Mm. And it's really kind of brought us home and just accept the things that we cannot change and to have the courage to change what we can. And what we can change is our hearts and change our emotions, because it's just an emotion. At the end of the day, it's just an emotion.
Mm-hmm. And if you let it drive you, it really gets you in trouble, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And it can almost control you. And when you do that, then you're allowing fear to take over.
Mm.
And that doesn't do anyone any justice. It doesn't do the children. It doesn't do future or present grandchildren. It doesn't do anybody help. Mm. So my advice is to just love them. Love yourself. Know that every day that you are loved, that you are lovable, that you are worth it, and be, solid in your relationship with your husband or spouse, rather, to let them know that they're, you are a team. And that, in fact, helps the children kind of know what to do, because if you can't guide yourself, how can you possibly guide your children?
That's absolutely true. Lori, thank you for your call.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. You gave the right direction here. Get on the same team. What we so often see is the problems start to develop when the husband and wife, mom and dad, are not on the same page. And so I kind of, with a smile, have said over the years, you're better to be wrong in agreement than to be right individually. Does that make sense? In other words, to be on the same page, have a reasonable plan, and follow through and do it as parents. Really powerful. All right, let's get Carla on, who has a story to share as well. Carla, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, a man from New Mexico had called, and he has a 22-year-old that's an addict, and my son died at 22 from being an addict.
Mm.
And my thoughts were, he said he doesn't have a relationship with him and everything, and all I could say, about was that we didn't give up on our son. We set perimeters. He was out of our house. We had to ask him to leave, but we kept a relationship. And what we did was, my ex had wanted to just not have anything to do with him, and I said, let's do baby steps. Let's keep in contact by phone. And we always called him the gunna man. I'm gunna this, I'm gunna that, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So I said, and that drove my ex crazy. And I said, just when he starts really going into the gunnas, that's really a trigger for you, just then say, well, I need to go and let it go. And then we would make dates with him to meet him at restaurants, not have him at the house. And we just kept that open. And he was at different times selling and taking drugs. And his friends, we had 100 of his friends. We lived in Washington at the time, came down from Seattle to where we lived. It's an hour drive. And they came because they said that Aaron, my son, talked to them about Jesus, and that we were the only ones that they knew of that had a relationship with their parents, still knowing that their son was using and selling drugs. And they wanted to know why. So they came down to his memorial service, and afterward they said, well, now we know why. And he kept telling them, you guys would die to have my parents, because they would be there for me no matter what. And we were, because that's what Christ does. He's there for us no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so, we got the kudos from them coming to the service and knowing that our son's heart was still with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I always said, Satan got his life, but he didn't get his heart. And I would just encourage anyone that has someone that's an addict, I feel as long as they're breathing, there's hope.
Mm. That's a point. The hope is the key. We can't give up on hope for our kids. We don't know what God is going to do. And Carla, I'm so sorry you've been through this. This is painful, and the lessons you've learned are be way beyond the scope of a half-hour show here, and deeper than what we could ever get into, I'm sure. But you give us an example that you've got to keep the relationship open. You've got to continue to love. You got to allow God to do his work, but you don't enable them either. You don't, you know, help them do what they're doing that's harmful, but you love them in the process. Hold on for a minute, Carla. You referenced Ali, who we talked to some time ago, and he really, I think, is in a similar boat. Take a listen to what he shared with us.
I've got a son that's just turned 22, I'm sorry, but we've sent him to a rehab in the past. He's addicted. Unfortunately, I didn't know what to do, and that's what I did. I finally sent him to a type of military school, and he did get through that and graduated. After he got out, he just went back to using drugs. And at 21, I just finally just shut him off, and I didn't give him any more money or anything like that. And he's, like I say, just turned 22. But I don't know where to go from here.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Ali, you're not alone. And for those who are like Carla, you've been through it. The outcome isn't necessarily what you want, what you hope for, what you pray for. But you keep trusting God. There's always hope. Thank you, Carla. And thank you, Ali, for sharing. And I just want to say to all parents, you're listening. Or maybe you're a grandparent. You have a son or daughter or grandchild that you love, and they've been good kids maybe, and or maybe they've wrestled with a lot of things in their lives, but they get onto these substances and they overtake their lives. And addiction is so destructive. And it's one of the things that angers me when I see what happens in America, when we see that drugs are bringing families down and destroying families. And we just need to continue to pray. And listen, parents, be smart. Know what's going on in your homes. Be aware. Be intentional. But I know even when you do that, you can't sometimes stop what can happen in the world in which we live. I wish we had some sort of a magic wand. I know as Christians we shouldn't have a magic wand, right? But some sort of a magic wand that we could just wave and problems would go away. But can we allow God to work in the pain in which we experience in a broken, sinful world? All right, more on this topic, a little heavy, hurtful to many families, but the good news is God is still in charge. There's hope for you today as a parent or grandparent going through this, okay? So don't go away.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these five devices.
I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with number 9 on the list of the top 10 things that people do intentionally to live on purpose. And successful people tend to declutter their lives regularly. You realize if you took 5 minutes every day just to declutter something, your mind, your heart, maybe a pile of papers on your desk, that'd be about 30 hours in a year. That's a lot. To be intentional in decluttering your life is a serious part of this process that we call intentional living. Every day, maybe there's something in a relationship with your spouse that needs to be decluttered, to sit down and talk it through and get it off the checklist of issues. Maybe there's something you have to talk about with one of your children to resolve an issue, or maybe at work, or pay a bill, or make a phone call. Whatever that one thing is, declutter your life today. That's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
And I want to say when you're there, there's helpful resources. And all of this is really made possible because of the generous, prayerful support of you all. Our members, thank you for your ongoing monthly support. And for those of you who, from time to time, are so generous in sharing a gift. And this is the last call for January. We're at the end of the month here. And we have a very special gift to help you get started in this new year, called My Daily Walk, Inspiration for Life in Jesus. It's a 365 daily devotions in one book. And you'll read through this book every day. It'll take you 3, 4, 5 minutes for a devotional thought, some scripture, and a one thing challenge. By the way, it's only through intentional living. It's not in the bookstores. It's not on Amazon. This was created by our team for you because we love you. And these five essential areas, our faith, our family, our work, our finances, and our health. And each day, we focus on one of those five essentials just to keep hammering away in a loving, encouraging, supportive way how to be intentional. Your best gift will get this to you today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or you can call us during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717 and press number 4. We want you to get in on this. It's only through the end of the month here that we're making this available. Today we're talking intentional living, and it really started with Tandra, who was asking the question, basically, how do you cut the cord with an adult child, and how do you be intentional in doing that in a loving Christian way? And you all have been responding. We'd love, love to hear your stories as well. Tamika wants to weigh in on this from Michigan. Tamika, welcome to the program.
Hi
there.
How are you?
I'm terrific. Appreciate your call. What's your comment on this today?
Well, I was listening to your program a couple of weeks ago about raising adult children and how to, you know, get them on their course and to be responsible and to, even if they're living at home, to be, you know, actively participating in a positive way and even some financially. Well, I have a 19-year-old who's getting ready to turn 20, and she graduated a year ago, and she had an offer to a university in Alabama, and it was a scholarship in the midst of that, and we got her all prepared, and her dad and I, you know, we were all excited, and so was her church family, and they just pitched in quite a bit of finances as well. And 2 weeks before we were headed down, she said, no, I don't want to go to, you know, this university. I want to go to the military. Oh, okay. Well, you know, her perspective, we didn't have a clue what it was, and we didn't know what her decisions were going to be, and we were taken back. And at first I wanted to respond emotionally, and I'm quite angry and upset, and so was her dad. And then we said, you know, we need to pray about this, and this is not the way to go. We don't need to respond to her emotionally. We really need to give her some ultimatums in the household if she plans on staying here and working on getting into the military and things like that. And that's a big jump from being, you know, a university student to a military active duty kind of person. So, you know, we sat down and we talked to her, and we asked her about her decisions, and we told her that if you're going to be in the home, you know, you need to participate in the care of the home. Even if you can't find a job right now, even if you can't help us financially or even want to, you need to figure out things that you're going to do in the home to, you know, help and to participate. And
now, how long ago was this, Tamika?
This was a year ago.
Okay, so how are you doing today? How'd the last 12 months turn out?
We're doing really great. I would have to say that she's following rules. I mean, we've had a setback. We had to take her key away from her because she didn't understand that she has to be responsible with that. She almost lost it, and then she had some issues with telling us what time she was coming in, even though we had a contract made.
But where's the military part? Did she go to the military?
She's actually with the recruiter today, so she's working on taking her test.
Yeah. So this has been a long process. Was this, in your thought, I mean, she was registered to go, been accepted, had all that support. Do you think that part of this was just fear of leaving home? Was it fearful of stepping out?
I think a lot of fear had to do with this. I think she is one of those safe kids. She wants to make sure that at each step she takes, she can go back a couple of steps before going forward.
Yeah.
And so we did talk to her about that, and, you know, she denied it. And I said, you know, from years of experience, for one, I said, I'm not sure if we agree with that, but we won't want to support you. And as long as you are respectful in our home and you do what you're supposed to do. And we did set a contract out for her. We wrote down a contract, and we said, if this doesn't get done, we will come back to the table, and we will make sure that, you know, you follow the rules. So.
All right. Hey, Tamika, I got to move on. But listen, I want to just add what I hear is a young lady who, out of some fear, maybe not wanting to make that break, this was a little safer thing to stay home and transition into this year of thinking about going off to the military. But you didn't allow your emotions to put a wedge in the relationship. You kept the relationship open. And the good news is, we all, my wife and I often say this, we all get there one way or another. And she's taking a little different path. I think what's really important when you have a daughter or a son like Tamika, and they're struggling with this, is have them keep the ball in their court to lay out what their schedule is and what their plan is. In other words, let's not just take it day by day, month by month, year by year. What's your plan in the next 90 days? Where do you want to be in 90 days from now? Okay, where are you going to have to be at the end of this month to get there? And what do you have to do today? If you're going to live here in the home, we want to know what the plan is. And the plan then helps the child or the young adult to stay in course, also as a parent, not feeling like, you know, we don't know what's next. All right, we're talking intentional living today. Let's thank you, by the way, for your call. Let's go to Diane from Kansas with some encouragement for parents learning to letting go. So go ahead, Diane.
My biggest hope is that somebody else will benefit from what we've been through. Our dear son, from the time he was young, he was the most obedient child. And then in high school, it started up with pot and drinking. And it was hard. My husband's job, he was gone quite a bit. And sometimes I felt like the single parent. But our son really learned to divide us, you know, as far as rules. And then we realized in college, they told him that he had ADD and put him on Adderall. And that just had other things spiraling out of control. And long story short, he's been in rehab off and on for the last year and a half, and he's now 4 months clean, and he just turned 28. He's in Arizona now, and I got to go see him, and to hear him say that he's on his knees praying morning and night. He went to Las Vegas at one point, and there I think he truly hit rock bottom, and he lived as a homeless person. And he said one time he finally crawled into this vacant building and he didn't have the strength to leave. And somehow he got out, and a Christian we knew out there got help for him. And that was the beginning of this. But this has brought my husband and I together probably more than ever, as we've been on our knees to pray for him daily and to give him to the Lord. It's so easy to want to take it back and to, you know, try to fix it ourselves. I drove him many times to rehab thinking I was fixing everything. And I know God has to do it.
Yeah, we learn that, don't we? Mm. All right, Jean left a story on our comment line. Maybe some encouragement for you. Jean, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jean. When one of my sons, and they're in their early 40s right now, called from jail. He had been driving a car without insurance, and he was drinking. And I said, I'm not going to rescue you. That's what I told him over the phone. It might have sounded harsh, but I think that was a step in growing up for him. This was before he was married. I think that sometimes we become too codependent to our children, and I just happen to be a substance abuse nurse, so I knew about codependency, but it helped him grow up, you know? So thankful to have your program.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for all of you who, by the way, when you share your comments, you may hear it on the air. Maybe you have a specific question. Say, hey, here's something I'd love to hear folks respond to. Here's what I'm facing. How can I be intentional? We'd love to hear that as well. 888-888-1717, and hit our comment button there, and we'll wait to hear from you.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Number 9 on the list is, of course, we did a whole lesson on this. They declutter their lives regularly. And I was looking at verses in the Bible that really talked about decluttering your life. And what I found was that there are 93 verses in the Bible where we are commanded to give up everything in order to follow Christ. That's a pretty sobering thought. 93 times God chooses to say, declutter your life, declutter your life, declutter your life, follow me, declutter your life. We live in a cluttered culture, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. We're the richest people on the planet. We have more stuff than anybody else on the planet. But I'll tell you what, successful people know how to set aside the things that are less important to focus on the things that are most important in their life.
Mm.
That's an excerpt from this month's teaching for members only, last call for January. If you're not a member, you can still get in on this, and we'll get this to you to say thank you as you become a member of Intentional Living today with your monthly support. $1 a day, $30 a month is a target, but whatever God lays on your heart. Join in today. We'll get it to you. Members, you already have it. And every month, automatically, a brand new teaching. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call 888-888-1717, press number 4. And when you do, you allow some success stories to be heard, like this one from our comment line.
Yeah, Randy, I just wanted to tell you I appreciate the one thing wristband, which I wear every day, and my one thing is my wife. Every time I look at it, it reminds me to hear my wife's confessions, listen to my wife's ideas, and take my wife's considerations into every decision I make. And I thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you. And by the way, you have a good ministry, and you're doing so many things for so many people that you probably don't even know. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. That's a nice encouragement. We appreciate it. Nice way to wrap up the program today. Hey, I'd love to hear your comments on what you've heard today. Maybe you have a question that you'd like to be front and center on the air to help you in your life. That's why we're here. Here's what intentional living is about: boldly declaring what your intention is before God, and then developing the kind of daily godly habits that will reinforce that. Now, there's more to all that that we teach and we talk about in our events and through our resources. But that's it. Declaring those intentions, developing the godly habits necessary, and then decluttering your life of the things that really hold you back. We'll have more on all that next time. I hope you'll join us for our entire team here, for Stephen and Rob and Sally and the rest of the team. Thank you for your support, for your being a listener, and for being a part of the family. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.